We are still at the beginning of the season of Christmas. So far, my true love has only given me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree. But in our lectionary reading today from the Gospel of Luke, we fast forward in time 12 years from the events in the stable to encounter a tweener Jesus holding court in the temple of Jerusalem. This is the only New Testament story we have of Jesus between his dedication in the temple as an infant and the beginning of his adult baptism in the Jordan River. This is the only New Testament story of the child Jesus, but you may be interested to know that there are more stories and non-canonical texts. If you're looking for an addition to your Christmas reading list, I recommend the Infancy Gospel of Thomas. It is a text written in the 2nd century CE that pictures Jesus at different points in his childhood, at 5, at 8, at 12, testing his strength, lashing out, hurting, healing, forming boundaries, and pushing every one of his parents' buttons. At one point, when Joseph scolds him, he pulls out the "You're not my real dad" move. The Infancy Gospel of Thomas. Check it out sometime. But this morning, we are going to focus on the story from Luke. Now, one of the things I love about digging into Scripture is that it can take you in so many different directions. In the rabbinic tradition, it is said that each word of the Torah, there are 70 different possibilities of interpretation. Isn't that cool? The 9th century theologian John Scotus Erigena used the metaphor of a peacock's feather for this same expansive understanding of Scripture, saying, just as in a feather of a peacock, and even in the same small portion of the feather, we see a marvelously beautiful variety of innumerable colors. So it is with Scripture. When we open ourselves to our sacred texts and look at them with curiosity and through different perspectives, they expand before our eyes, and oftentimes something within us expands as well. This feels like a good moment to mention that Metropolitan has 3 active Bible study groups: Saturday morning, Wednesday at noon, and Thursday morning, and all are very pleased to welcome new folks to join. But back to the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple, and the multitude of different directions we could take with this text. Obviously, we could sit with the anxiety of Mary and Joseph and imagine, or perhaps for some of us, relive the fear of not knowing where our child is. Or perhaps we could focus on the precociousness of Jesus and how he was so very like other kids of his age and any time, navigating their way from childhood to adulthood. Or we could dig into the relationship between Jesus and the temple teachers and imagine who in our lives has brought out the best in us. We could go on pilgrimage down any one of these roads. But this morning, I'd like to focus on Jesus' response to Mary's "Where have you been?" question. The question he answers with, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? I must be in my Father's house." The family of Jesus is said to have made a regular practice of going to Jerusalem for the Passover meal. During the Second Temple period, Passover was primarily a pilgrimage festival. That is, since sacrifice could only take place in the temple, the Passover meal would normally be eaten only in Jerusalem. The pilgrimage to the temple was obviously vital to Jesus' spiritual life because it was a practice he continued into his adulthood. Remember that all the events of Holy Week that we encounter in the lead-up to Easter are instigated by Jesus traveling to Jerusalem for the Passover. In this way, the story of the 12-year-old Jesus is also linked to the well-known incident of him flipping over the money changers' tables, raging that, "My house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it into a den of robbers." His Father's house is his house. It is his spiritual home. One of the common questions we ask ourselves and a question that takes on a particular hormone-driven urgency in adolescence is, where do I belong? Where do I belong? It's a question tied to identity and values and community and purpose. And what we see in our text today is Jesus starting to understand where he belongs. With the teachers in the temple reading Torah and digging into the big questions of life and faith, he is discovering how he fits in, who his people are, what his story is, what he is being called to. Later in his life, Jesus would walk into the synagogue, unfurl the scroll of Isaiah, and read the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free." He points to the text and said, this is why I am here. Frederick Buchner says, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's hunger meet." The place God calls you to is a place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. This is what the 12-year-old Jesus is discovering in the temple. His Father's house is his house. It is his spiritual home. It is where he needs to be to discern his mission and his calling. And that's universal. We all want that, don't we? To know where we fit in, where we belong, to have a spiritual home, a place and a people to help us find meaning and purpose and how we can be of service in this hurting world. I hope that's why you're here. Either you already consider this church your spiritual home, or perhaps you are searching for a spiritual home, and the spirit or a person in your life has given you a nudge to be here today. We certainly have people that were baptized into this community and have been part of Metropolitan their whole lives. But for the majority of us, we have come from somewhere else. Another church, another spiritual tradition, no spiritual tradition, and have found home here. Some of us have been harmed by other expressions of faith, for loving who they love, for being who they are, and have found a home here. Some of us live downtown, but many do not. People travel from all over the GTA and beyond to come here. And with the gift and global reach of live streaming, some of you will never step foot in this church. And yet here we all are. Here we all are. The quest for identity and purpose and community and hope and calling has brought us here. This is a place of pilgrimage. Physical and now digital pilgrimage. For so many, this is a spiritual home defined by openness and inclusion and service for a hurting world. And throughout our long history, Metropolitan has been a place where deep gladness meets the world's deep hunger. We had a reporter here a few weeks ago. She was working on a story about how religion is changing in these pandemic times. We talked for about an hour, and it was a good conversation. But if I were to encapsulate all her questions into one question, it would be, "So you're still doing this religion thing, huh? What's up with that?" It's true that religion, and specifically Christianity, is no longer at the center of society in this part of the world as it once was. We no longer just need to open our doors or turn on the live stream and the multitudes will flow in just because it's what you do. Being Christian does not necessarily give you privileged access to power or influence. The prime minister no longer shows up at general council meetings as once happened. Christianity no longer defines what is normative in society. Our empire building days are over, which I believe is a very good thing. It is a good thing to be a community of choice rather than expectation. This is a moment in church history where we are called to discern how we fit in, how we fit into a less homogenic and increasingly pluralistic world, how we can retain our specific identity but let go of our past insistence that everybody needs to be like us, how we can look at the deep hunger of this world and confront intolerance with understanding, cynicism with authenticity, polarization with openness. Jesus' spiritual home may have been the temple in Jerusalem, but his identity and mission extended beyond any one particular building. Being a devout Jew, this would have been something he understood very well, a central aspect of the Jewish story that we see in Scripture and in history is of a people searching for and finding and being exiled from their spiritual home. In 770 BCE, the people were expelled from the kingdom of Israel by the Assyrian Empire. In the 5th century BCE, they were exiled from their homeland in the Babylonian captivity. Jesus himself tells a prospective disciple that foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Luke foreshadows the destruction of the temple in 70 CE by the Roman imperial army with Jesus' words, "As for these things that you see, the days will come where not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." Throughout the centuries, the Jewish people have learned the importance of maintaining an identity and purpose even when out of their spiritual home. Even while scattered across the globe, they have built home in diaspora, each community responding to the needs and deep hungers of the local community while still fostering a sense of belonging defined by their relationship to God. We follow the one who had nowhere to lay his head. We follow the one who went on pilgrimage, whose mission of healing and justice and love could not be contained in any one building or arguably in any one tradition. So, what if we use this time when we are separated from our spiritual home to explore different ways spiritual communities are meeting the world's deep hunger? I wonder what would happen if we looked at faith like looking at a peacock's feather, shimmering with different colors, each shade unique and beautiful, but part of a mysterious and mystical whole. I wonder what might be expanded within us on such a journey. Perhaps we can use this time of being in diaspora for spiritual exploration, to enrich not only our lives, but the life of our spiritual home, this place where we seek to live into an identity of openness and inclusiveness and service. And so I have a special invitation for you. Over this holiday season, I invite you to go on a pilgrimage, a digital pilgrimage. Faith communities around the world are in the same position that we are right now. Many of us have shifted to online worship. Many have their services archived for non-synchronous participation, just like we do. And because of this, never in the history of this planet have we had greater access to different expressions of faith and spirituality as we do right now. Imagine what we could learn about each other and God and ourselves by visiting other spiritual homes, carrying with us a spirit of openness and curiosity and love. So I invite you to go on a digital pilgrimage. Do some research. Make sure you find an expression of faith that will offer you a positive experience, especially if you have been hurt before. So maybe you will end up in a country church in Saskatchewan or spending time with a black liberationist preacher in America's deep south. Maybe you'll visit Canterbury or Korea, Melbourne or Montenegro. Maybe you'll find a service in a different language or a different tradition, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, indigenous. Before coming here this morning, I heard the sad news of the death of Archbishop Desmond Tutu. I suspect there will be a funeral service for him in the coming days, and maybe this could be your place of pilgrimage to honor the man and encounter the inclusive approach to faith that he preached and he lived. Perhaps there was someone in your life you could share a digital pilgrimage with. You could worship online with them at their spiritual home and then invite them to watch a service here at ours. Have a virtual coffee with them afterwards and talk about it. I wonder how this could deepen your relationship. As you were on your pilgrimage, make special note of what questions you have, what was confusing or felt exclusive. Likewise, what brought you in, what helped you build a sense of belonging and connection to the divine. So sometime this Christmas season, sometime in the next 11 days, I invite you to go on a digital pilgrimage and then come home and tell us about it. On January 6th, the day of Epiphany, the day the wise ones from the East went on pilgrimage to Jerusalem in search of the Messiah, we will gather on Zoom at 6:30 p.m. to share of our experiences. From our time in diaspora, we'll come home. We will come home to deepen our collective understanding of the different ways God is made known to God's people and the different ways deep gladness is meeting the deep hunger of God's world. Just as in the feather of a peacock, and even in a small portion of the feather, we see a marvelously beautiful variety of innumerable colors. So it is with God. So it is with God. Amen.